But now the National Institutes of Health's Clinical Center has suspended operations of its pharmaceutical development section in Bethesda. This move follows an inspection by the Food and Drug Administration that was prompted by a whistleblower complaint. Inspectors found a series of operating and handling deficiencies, including experimental drugs contaminated with fungus. For more on what the NIH found and what it's doing to fix the problem, we turn to the Principal Deputy Director, Dr. Richard Tabak. Dr. Tabak, good morning. Thanks for joining me.
Good morning.
All right, so how did these problems come to light? Was it, in fact, a whistleblower?
Actually, two events occurred which may or may not be related. In mid-April, a clinical center technician noticed a vial that had an unusual appearance. Immediately, all the vials in that lot were quarantined. It was subsequently determined that that vial and one other had fungal contamination. At some point, a person made a complaint to the FDA about the facility. And while we don't know the person's identity or the specific nature of the complaint, we're very grateful to that person because their actions led to the identification of serious problems that NIH has to address going forward.
Well, give us a little bit of background on the pharmaceutical development section. I guess a lot of people didn't realize that you do actually make drugs there to a limited degree.
Right. So what this section does is it handles and packages and produces products in their needed dosage forms, many of which aren't available from other sources. And so it formulates a wide range of forms for patient administration, including sterile injections and topical doses.
And is it normal for the FDA to inspect this federal facility? I mean, does it come under the jurisdiction of the FDA as a drug-producing source?
The FDA has not normally inspected this facility. The decision to inspect it was made by the FDA based upon the complaint that they received from the unknown individual.
All right, so what exactly did the FDA find beyond the fact that there was one batch of, I guess it's albumin, which is a carrier for experimental drugs into the body, were contaminated? What else did they find?
Well, unfortunately, they also found some facility challenges, things that were not as they should be. And in addition, they noted that training and adherence to standard operating procedures was not up to the quality that is expected.
And so I imagine that came as a surprise to the upper echelons at NIH.
Well, it was extremely surprising and disappointing to all of NIH. And obviously, we will be taking steps to redress this as soon as possible.
And so it's closed down for now, but nevertheless, you have the drugs that are needed for several dozen clinical patients at the NIH. What are you doing to replace the drugs they were getting?
Right. So first, to clarify, it's the sterile component of this facility that's been closed down, and we noted this in a correction to our public statement late yesterday. And you're right. We have dozens of patients who receive products that were produced by this facility. And so we are in the process of looking for alternative sources of these products. Some studies may be delayed as it may take time to acquire these from other sources.
All right. And so tell us then what some of the steps will be that you plan to take to start getting this thing back to where it should be.
Well, first, we are working very closely with our colleagues at the FDA, and we're very grateful for all of their help and guidance. We will be assembling a group of external experts, folks who are knowledgeable about microbiology, sterile manufacturing practices, people with engineering backgrounds in facilities of this type, for them to come in and review our current operating procedures, how we do our staff training, and to perform an assessment of the physical facility. And then this group will report their findings and recommendations to the NIH director.
How many people work in the sterile section, and what level of education or training do they have coming into there? Are they doctors or are they technicians? Who are they?
Well, so this is a rather small unit. I don't know the exact number of individuals, and their training background, spans the gamut from a doctorate level individuals at the head to individuals who have technical training. So there's a range of expertise in this unit.
Because this seems to be a problem in industry. We know the horrible incident a few years ago with the compounding pharmacy up in Massachusetts. And the NIH has had a couple of cases in recent years of materials mishandled or going to the places they shouldn't be. Will this prompt kind of a wider investigation of the of all the places that might be handling sterile material? Because NIH is a pretty far-flung situation.
Right. So we believe that this is an isolated incident, and of course the other aspects of the hospital operations are subject to regular oversight and inspection by various boards. But nevertheless, these are very serious issues. And the NIH director and his leadership team are taking this with the greatest of seriousness. And our first responsibility is the safety and care of all of our patients. And we're determined to identify and correct all of these deficiencies.
We're speaking with Dr. Richard Tabak. He is the principal deputy director of the National Institutes of Health. And you said that some of the batch that medicine, two of the vials of which were found to have been contaminated with fungus, that batch was used to inject patients. Now on Friday, NIH reported so far so good, nothing has been noted. Is that still the case? Are the patients still seem to be free of infection?
Yes, fortunately, the six patients that had received material from this lot prior to the discovery of the contamination have not yet shown any evidence of fungal infection. And indeed, no patient thus far has shown any sign of untoward reaction that has received any product from this facility.
Now, the alternative sources that you're trying to find, if it takes some time, what happens to the patients in the meantime that were presumably getting these drugs on some regular dosage schedule?
Right. So in most instances, it means that we may have to delay the study in which the patient is enrolled. In unusual circumstances, there is an exceptions process that involves determining the relative risk of withholding product from the patient versus using the product going forward. Again, these are unusual circumstances and are, being handled, on a case-by-case basis.
By coincidence, I read this morning that the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration is bringing in a trio of outside experts to help it figure out what it did wrong in a case of the ignition switch in GM cars a few years ago. And here NIH is bringing in three outside experts to help. Is this new for NIH to have outsiders come in and kind of oversee response to a situation like this, or is this something you've done before?
Well, this is actually part of our core function. We are guided by many, many outside experts who provide us with a range of expertise and recommendations from looking at how we conduct our research here in our intramural facility to outside experts who ascertain the scientific merit of applications for grant support that we receive. So, NIH is well accustomed to seeking the expertise of outside experts.
And Dr. Collins said that he would have an interim plan for getting this lab back up and running properly by June 19th. Does that mean that it's going to be out of commission at least till then?
Certainly it will be. We can't predict at this point how long it will take to assemble recommendations from the outside experts. This is a case where being very thorough is important, and we will just have to wait to see what the actual time frame will be to get this back up in operation.
And you said there's a number of employees then who it sounds like they would be idled as a result of the shutdown. So what's happening to them in the meantime?
Well, as I indicated, only the portion that deals with the sterile products is currently suspended. And in addition, there are a number of administrative activities that these employees need to do as we assemble information that will be needed to do the full assessment.
So they're helping in the assessment itself?
Well, just in terms of finding facts and providing us with the necessary information that outside experts will be able to review.
Dr. Richard Tabak is Principal Deputy Director at the NIH. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're most welcome.